This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
This year, second-generation Holocaust survivor and best-selling memoirist Ellen Korman Maines will mark International Holocaust Remembrance Day on January 27th at the site of the infamous Auschwitz concentration camp in Poland. She's making the trip, one of many she has taken, to ensure that the world does not forget the murder of over 6 million Jews who were killed in concentration camps and mass graves during World War II. Ellen is the author of Buried Rivers, A Spiritual Journey into the Holocaust. She joins us via Skype from Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Glad to be with you.
Thanks very much for being on the program with us. As someone who is a second-generation Holocaust survivor, the memories, the story of the Holocaust is never far from your memory, is it?
That's right. That's right. I was thinking, you know, it's funny to say I'm going there for International Holocaust Remembrance Day because that never leaves my awareness. But I still think it's very powerful to participate in something with others.
Those who survive the Holocaust are just by years advanced age are dying off. They're not, they won't be around too much longer to share their stories. Besides that, there are people out there who, as you know, are out and out deniers of the Holocaust. What is worse in your estimation, not remembering or simply denying?
Well, you know, both are pretty bad. I mean, it's unfortunate that we would not teach the lessons of the Holocaust and keep that alive. But I have to say, denying it is sort of like spreading a poison. It's actually trying to reignite anti-Semitism and maybe put it under the guise of, you know, these days you can pretend to be legitimate, you can pretend to be doing some kind of, you know, academic, you know, have some kind of legitimate something or other on the internet. But really, it only happens as a pretense for continuing some kind of racial agenda, some kind of anti-Semitism, very far right agenda that doesn't do humanity any good at all. And it is spreading a poison.
It's very important for the Jewish community to remember what has taken place, but how important is it for the rest of the world, for those who are not Jews, to be fully aware of what took place in the Holocaust and to keep it at least partially in their minds at all times?
Yeah, because genocides have continued to happen and are continuing to happen. And also because wherever people go after Jews, they also go after other people, people of color, gypsies, LGBT, anyone who doesn't fit a certain narrow agenda, who's regarded as another. So you could say Jews are, you know, anti-Semitism is one of many prejudices. And so I don't think humanity's in good shape when that's going on.
And the thing is, when people think of genocides, they think of places that are, let's be honest, mostly third world countries, mostly impoverished countries. But that wasn't Germany.
Mm-hmm.
It was a major metropolitan city and country that these atrocities took place in. And people sometimes take it for granted that, oh, well, you know, what happens in Rwanda, what happens in the Middle East, that can't happen here. But Germany was a thriving community. And part of the modern European world, correct?
That's right. And also the Jews were the most integrated and part of that society, part of, you know, privileged society there as much as anywhere else in the world.
Now, you've written the book, Buried Rivers. Who did you write the book for?
Good question. I think I wrote it, you know, partly for myself, partly to honor my family history. But really, I wrote it because once I started traveling to Poland, I experienced such a powerful sense of connection and blessing from reconnecting with the place of my ancestors and feeling them supporting me, that I just thought it was an extraordinary experience. And the book was motivated because I had an experience on a train in 2005 where I felt the energy of the Holocaust, the energy of the dead, kind of asking me to help them. And the question seemed to be, how can you still believe in basic goodness? So that's what motivated me to go to Poland. And then once I started going, I just started to really experience such a powerful sense of reconnection that it was sort of like making my own life whole again. And I felt that this ancestral connection was something that needed to be shared with others, as well as commemorating the whole history.
Well, you kind of answered the question, but you are going back to Poland for International Holocaust Remembrance Day. You have made the trip on more than one occasion. What makes you want to keep going back?
I go back there because at this point I have very strong relationships with Polish people, and I simply enjoy, I just feel like it's an ongoing project. It's not a one-time project. So I feel like there's something being healed just by my being there, reconnecting with people who also want to come together. And a lot of Polish people do. So there's also a stereotype among Jews that, you know, Poles are anti-Semites. They don't like the Jews. But actually, that's really a huge stereotype. I'm not saying there wasn't anti-Semitism, but actually there was also many hundreds of years when they lived in relative peace together and where Jews had more freedom than anywhere else. So to me, Poland is a very important place for intercultural communication and for the Jews, amongst other people.
You mentioned earlier the kind of mindset that leads to what was the Holocaust. With such tragedy happening within your own family and seeing some of these atrocities, as you mentioned, take place still in many places around the world, how do you regain your faith in humanity?
Yeah, well, that is a $64,000 question. And that's not something that I can give like a two-word answer to, because it's more like you have to dig down deep and you have to trust that underneath the aggression and the fear that makes people do things like kill other people, you know, they do that out of their own misunderstanding, their own fear and lack of education. But they are not fundamentally bad people. So I don't believe in demonizing people. I believe in educating and in learning about the inner causes that contribute to us causing harm instead of going along with our nature, which actually fundamentally I think is more good than bad. But, you know, it's a tough sell after the Holocaust, so you do have to dig down deep.
Collectively, as someone who is a second-generation Holocaust survivor, are you always looking over your shoulder? I mean, you know, last year was the 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht. Do you see anything in current situations, either in Europe or even in North America, that reminds you of the genesis of what that situation was over 80 years ago?
Well, it's definitely, the shooting in Pittsburgh, that created a much bigger reverberation in myself and everyone I knew, Jewish and non-Jewish. And just all of the, especially living in the U.S., the degree of shooting, the number of shootings and violence. Personally, I don't really live looking over my shoulder too much. I just don't have that kind of personality or you know, I have my nervousness about the world, but no, I'm not too personally nervous, but I am very concerned.
I mentioned earlier who you wrote the book for. When you speak to readers, when you get involved, if you do book signings or public speaking or anything like that, are you cognizant of the fact that there may be members of your audience who are non-Jews? Are you trying to reach the non-Jewish community and share your story? Because I think it's a story that's important to the world, not just to Jews.
Yes, I agree. And I feel like I have a kind of 50-50 audience. I spent a lot of years basically being trained as a Buddhist. That's more my orientation in terms of a spiritual path. And so I have friends of all religions, and I feel as welcomed and as relevant to people, you know, who are non-Jews as well as Jews.
And when you talk to non-Jews, do they take to the story, do they take to the history of the Holocaust as something that is important to remember? In other words, you never come across people who say, you know, the Holocaust, that was two generations ago almost. Let's move on. You don't get that sentiment, do you?
I do not. I mean, I did get that. I think I mentioned to you before the show, I did have a Holocaust denier make that kind of a comment to me on my website. And this was a far-right activist who I found. But no one else has ever said anything like that to me. I always find a tremendous amount of compassion. And I've been surprised by that. But I've been surprised about how many people in the world that I speak to actually immediately have a strong connection and resonance with what the message is.
You are going, as I mentioned, to Poland for International Holocaust Remembrance Day. I don't know if you've been there in previous trips at any kind of particular commemoration, but does it mean something more to you to go back at this time than in other times you've gone?
A little bit, yes. I've been aware, I'm very aware of the anniversary date, because when I had that experience on the train, unbeknownst to me, it was the week of the 27th of January back in 2005, and it was the 60th anniversary. So there were a lot of commemorations happening in Europe, and I was completely unaware of it. So personally, it marks the beginning of my journey with this book and this journey. But also, I have been there, I've been at other commemorations. So I'm very connected to the city of Lodz in the center of Poland, where my mother was from. And I do regularly go to commemorations there of the liquidation of the ghetto, which was the second largest ghetto in Europe. And I'll be there this summer for the 75th anniversary of that, which is very important to me personally. So I haven't been to one of these in January at Auschwitz. I've been to other events, but not quite of this. I don't really know what to expect. I expect it to be larger.
You mentioned being on a train. When you're there, are you cognizant of the fact of the history those tracks have than just being a train that you're on at the moment?
Yes. Well, you mean any train?
Yeah.
Or
a train in Poland.
Yeah, well, I felt it when I was on the train in Germany. Even though it was a very modern train, there was just, you know, my mind just could not escape the metaphor, you know, of being on a train in Germany and looking out the window and seeing chain link fences, and somehow the Holocaust was very strongly evoked. I have to say, I travel a lot on trains in Poland, and I don't have I don't have the same feeling actually there, but I'm well aware of the train tracks, and of course, when you go into Birkenau, you know, that's how you come in. You follow the train tracks.
The book is called Buried Rivers: A Spiritual Journey into the Holocaust. Ellen, I thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Thank you so much.
Ellen Korman-Mains, author of Buried Rivers, A Spiritual Journey into the Holocaust. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the page for this show, which is show number 0491, and you'll find links to Ellen's website and also links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order her book directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.